When we were last together, it was Sunday morning, and we remembered a Sunday close to 2,000 years ago when a man named Jesus of Nazareth sat down on a donkey and purposefully rode into a Jerusalem overflowing with tens of thousands of people who were preparing to celebrate the great Passover, the great festival, a crowd who had been greatly anticipating the arrival of that man. The procession of Jesus into the city fulfilled Zechariah's prophecy that the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem humbly on a donkey. And for once, the crowd seemed to get it. They finally appeared to understand who Jesus was. And we joined with that crowd in spirit on Sunday, shouting praises to the King Jesus Christ, Hosanna to the Son of David. It was also mentioned on Sunday that by riding into Jerusalem in the way that he did, choosing to ride in on a donkey and thus boldly proclaiming to everyone who was in the know that he thought he was the Messiah, Jesus had essentially signed his death warrant. Those who opposed him and had been wanting to arrest him and kill him for some time, this was the tipping point for them. That was Sunday. What's happened since then? So Jesus had that glorious moment of riding into Jerusalem and people giving him praise and honor and understanding who he was, it seemed. When he got all the way into Jerusalem, he entered the temple courts. He overturned the tables of the money changers and those who were selling things. He taught people. He healed people from among the crowds gathered there. During the nights of that big week leading up to the Passover celebration, Jesus and his disciples stayed in a little town called Bethany just outside of Jerusalem. On Wednesday, a woman came to him and poured expensive perfume over his head. And his disciples started to rebuke her for wasting such costly perfume. Jesus stopped them by saying, Why are you bothering this woman? She's done a beautiful thing to me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Thursday, so that would have been yesterday as we remember these things now, was the day of Passover feast. Just like all Israelites, on that Thursday evening, Jesus sat down with his disciples and together they ate a sacrificed Passover lamb. They remembered the Exodus event when God saved the Israelite people out of slavery, when God established a great covenant with humanity through Moses. But at this Passover meal, Jesus added some words as they ate. When he passed the bread, he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you." When he passed the cup, he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus was about to become the new sacrificed Passover lamb. He was about to initiate a new covenant between God and humanity, those who would choose to follow him. When that special Passover meal was concluded, Jesus entered into the most excruciating night of his life. Knowing what he was about to go through, he barely found the strength to make it through that Thursday night. He told his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He couldn't sleep. He prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, may this cup be taken from me. But not my will, but yours be done." Late at night, one of his closest companions betrayed him and led a crowd of soldiers to this praying spot that Jesus had. Jesus was arrested and brought to trial during the overnight hours. The crowds who only days before had shouted his praises were replaced by the people who opposed him, and they called for his execution. And in the early Friday morning hours, Jesus, this brilliant moral teacher, experienced the following things. People spit in his face. They struck him with their fists. They mocked him. They stripped him. Matthew says that people took a staff and they struck him on the head again and again. And they crucified him. While he was hanging on the cross, people ridiculed him. He saved others, but he can't save himself. Yeah, he's the king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. He said he's the Son of God. Jesus hung on that cross for about 6 hours, and right around 3 p.m. on Friday, he died. A man named Nicodemus and a man named Joseph hurried to get him buried before the 6 p.m. start of Sabbath, and they laid him in a tomb. Last Sunday, I pointed out to you that if you have ever been misunderstood in life by the people around you, if you've ever been disliked, if you've ever been treated unfairly, Jesus understands you. He's been through that. Tonight, I want to tell you something further. The odds are very good that there will be people in this room tonight for whom this is true. If you have ever been struck by someone's fists, if you have ever been mocked, stripped, if you have ever been abused, can I tell you just one thing tonight? If that's you, Jesus understands you. He's been through it. He has experienced being taken advantage of. Jesus understands you. And for all of us here, when we think about how our loved ones have died and we wonder about how, you know, what we may experience when we die, it won't be anything worse than what Jesus went through. He understands even this. He's been through it. We do not worship a God who does not understand human pain and suffering. He understands. Tonight we gather for one purpose. On that Friday, long past, it would have been about an hour or two ago when Jesus was laid into the tomb. A Jesus who willingly chose to undergo all of these things that we just described in order to save you and me from our sins, to make heaven not just a possibility but a certainty for those who choose to accept this gift that he arranged for us. We're going to use the remaining time in our service to reflect, to remember, and to honor him for this great sacrifice on our behalf. And as it was silent around his tomb that night, I'm going to ask for all of us to remain silent for the duration of this service, except for one closing song. The night before his death, Jesus ate that Passover meal with his disciples. And similarly now, we will take communion together. At the Passover meal, Jews eat unleavened bread, and Janelle Kennedy has made unleavened bread for our communion meal tonight as we remember these events. After communion, we'll sing a final song, and then I'll ask you to maintain silence as you leave tonight. There will be time for breaking the silence in a day and a half, and for good reason. But on this night, remembering Jesus' body in the tomb, his disciples in despair, tonight we will leave in silence. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, when the soldiers came to arrest you, Matthew remembers you saying, "Am I leading a rebellion, that one that you have come with swords and clubs? But this is your hour when darkness reigns. So, Lord, we gather tonight to remember that dark, dark night and day when you suffered terrible things. We remember you, Lord. Thank you for suffering for us. Thank you for understanding us. Thank you for saving us.